Let's open with a word of prayer and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all that you've given to us. We thank you for the reading of your word and the promises that you've given to us for good and for bad, that we would follow you with all of our heart, with all of our soul and all of our being. And if we break this covenant with you, that these curses would come upon us. And we just pray that you'll open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, that we'll understand these words in Yeshua's name. Amen. I titled this, it's about a relationship. If you go back to Genesis, in the very first few chapters, you'll see that it was about a relationship between Adam and Yahweh. And then with Eve also, after she was pulled from Adam's side. God wanted a relationship with his creation. It was us who did not want that relationship with him. It did not become apparent until Exodus that most of the people did not want a relationship unless it was on their terms or our terms. In a marriage, can you imagine that the bride would speak and listen to the groom through the best man? You would say that is absurd, and you would be correct. Who in their right mind would want a marriage like that? That is what they did at Mount Sinai. Moses and Aaron were the best men. Oh, there were a few who wanted an intimate relationship with Yeshua on his terms. In all of humanity, only a very few wanted that relationship with Yeshua. If you go all the way back to the incident of the golden calf, or before that with the actual giving of the marriage covenant, which was consummated with a meal, that when the voice came and they heard the voice of Yahweh, they backed away in fear and trembled and their bones were quaking. And they said, we'll listen to God only through you, and only through that we will have a relationship with God. They missed a great opportunity. In Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16, it reads, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man, a housemaster, who went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he set them into his house, into his vineyard, and he went out at about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give to you. And they went. And they went out about the sixth and the ninth hour. He went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, why do you stand here all day idle? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and you shall receive whatever is right. So when the evening had come, the Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and pay them their wage, beginning from the last to the first. And when they were hired, about the 11th hour came, and each one received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they each one received a denarius. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, these last have worked only an hour, and yet you have made them equal to us who had borne the burden of the heat all of the day. But he answered one of them, reminded me of an incident that happened with us on our farm quite a few times, actually, when workers agreed for a certain amount of wage, and then when they saw that it was Americans that were actually doing the hiring for the work that had to be done, they had a greedy eye and wanted more money. When they were bringing our caravans to us at the workplace where these were constructed, they argued for more money, and they were fired. And then when the people that they hired to bring our caravans here to the farm, they saw who it was that they were bringing the caravans, and they wanted more money. And the person that hired them said, I can fire you just like I fired these other workers. Do you want to be fired also? And they quickly quieted down and accept the amount of money they agreed to when they got hired. So in this country, they do similar things. We agree on a wage. They work for the day, and they get at the end of the day, we pay them the wage that we agreed on. Some are set wages. Others are not, depending upon the amount of work that has to be done. But at the end of the day, we square it up, and we give what we said we would give. Only a very few times in this kind of relationship did we see or even hear of anybody arguing about wanting more money, because the matter was already settled before they started working. In Matthew 22:2-14, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage for his son. And he set out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. They would not come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who were invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My ox and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage. But not caring, they went their ways, one to his field, another for his trading. And the rest took his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard this, he was angry, and he sent out his armies to destroy those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the exits of the highways, and many as you shall find, invite them to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both good, bad, and good, and the wedding was filled with reclining guests. And the king coming to look over the guests saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how do you come without having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. In this Torah portion, we see that the same type of scenario exists even then. He says, we have to choose between life and death, between what is good and what is bad. But it's not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but it's the tree of life. We get to choose whether we're going to follow what's in the truth or we're going to follow what man says is truth. Many say that, oh, they follow the truth, but it's their own version of it, and they don't really follow it. In Matthew 5:20, for as I say to you, that unless your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter in the kingdom of heaven. They had the law down pat. They knew it frontwards and backwards. I had many jobs where I had to know my job backwards and frontwards, and if I messed up one little detail on, I could have been fired. These guys were responsible for the word of God themselves. What they did was they adulterated the law. They made it to where it was so hard for a man to even do one thing that they couldn't fulfill even the least of it. So therefore, they said that they're the rulers, and you're going to do what we say. But they had the law, and they should have obeyed what it said. But their righteousness were better than what some of the people that he was speaking to, and said, and they said that, well, if they can't enter into the kingdom, who can? In Matthew 19:16-26, and behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said to them, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, which? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, I have kept all these things from my youth up until now. What do I lack? Yet, and Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, and for he had great possessions. Then the king said to his disciples, truly I say to you that a rich man will have great difficulties entering the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard, they were exceedingly amazed and saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked on them and said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In this case, it was not that he did not keep the commandments, rather the young man, it was a checklist. He thought that if he would gain access into the kingdom by just completing the list of requirements that was in the Torah. Did you notice that Yeshua did not condemn the man for that, but rather he gave him a test? And sadly, the young man failed the test. We can be so wrapped up in doing what we forget. And we forget if we do not apply the love of God to every part of our life to show others what it looks like to be in the kingdom of God, it is that we miss that point of the whole matter. That is that we are to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and mind. What does that say about our generation? In a generation that I look at around us, not just here but around the world, they're so wrapped up in what they get for themselves. We had to come, Han and I, when we came to Jordan, we came halfway around the world to find people who actually cared enough about us to help us. It's not that I was looking for help, but she was in a wheelchair, and we had people coming up to us, assisting us to carry her wheelchair down a set of stairs that were pretty steep, with her in the wheelchair. So that means they picked her up in the wheelchair and carried her down the stairs. And the same, they carried her up the stairs. I couldn't find hardly anybody even wanting to help me get her up off the street into the sidewalk in the States. And I found it was so amazing to come across halfway around the world to a people that didn't even worship God the same way I did. I found that astounding. And where people are more interested in money and all the materialistic things, you see this every year. Within season after season, it's about the money and about the gifts and about their ability to buy new cars and new houses. Well, we see in our own country that these things are quickly fading away, and now they're more concerned about where will we live. So all this is being taken away bit by bit, day by day, seeing that it's not a materialistic world that's going to save them, but they're going to get to a point where the only place that they're going to get salvation is through Yahweh himself. This is what he's trying to tell us as a nation, as a world, that the only salvation is not through man, not through money, not through materialistic goods. It's through a relationship with God. In Matthew 24:4-14, and Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, so that see that you are not troubled, for these things must occur, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrow. Then they will deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you. And you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another, and will hate one another. And many false prophets will rise and deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, and the love of many will become cold. But he who endures to the end, the same shall be kept safe." In other versions, that word safe is saved. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come." In verse 12 it says that the love of many will become cold. Notice that it says will become cold. This is a process over some time. Over some time this happens, yet they will not notice. This will be gradual. Over the years, since the 1960s, as far back as I can remember, that you could trust your neighbor. The kids could run around in the streets and play and have a good time and not have to worry about strangers coming in and taking them and selling them into slavery or anything like that. That wasn't even a thought. Most doors were unlocked. You can go up to anybody's house and it would open the door and welcome you in and give you coffee or tea or and invite you to come in and talk about the things that are going on in your life. And today's that totally is different. People shut their doors. They don't no longer sit on the front porch. They go in the backyards, or they go somewhere else away from their house. They don't trust each other. They hurt each other. They murder each other. And there's so many things that go on, even in the cities, where even in the cities in the 60s, it was relatively safe. Yeah, there was some crime going on back then, but it was not near to what it is going on today. when we looked at this a couple, well, last year, somebody asked, what is the crime rate in Jordan? And it was down at the bottom. It was really close. And Israel was like four above it. And the United States was near the top of the list of high crimes and murders and everything like that. So it tells you where our nation is heading. It's not in a good place, where the people take more love of themselves instead of their neighbor. And this Torah portion is stated in chapter 30, which, by the way, is like one of my favorite chapters in this book. And 30 verses 1 through 10, and it shall be when these things have come upon you, the blessings and the curse, which I set before you, and you shall call them to mind in all the nations where Yahweh your Elohim has driven you. And you shall return to Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall obey his voice according to all that I have commanded you today, you, your sons, with all your heart and with all your soul. Then Yahweh your Elohim will turn your captivity, and he will have compassion on you, and he will return and gather you from all the nations where Yahweh your Elohim has scattered you. If you are driven out from the outermost parts of the heavens, Yahweh your Elohim will gather you from there, and he will bring you from there. And Yahweh your Elohim will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. And Yahweh your Elohim will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And Yahweh your Elohim will put all these curses on your enemies and those who that hate you, or persecute you, and you shall return and obey to the voice of Yahweh and do his commandments which I command you today. And Yahweh your Elohim will make you have plenty in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your land, for good, for Yahweh will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. For you shall listen to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, and keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in the book of the law. And if you turn to Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. Over and over again it says, with all your heart and with all your soul. This reminded me that years back when I was asking where our family came from, my mom and dad. And in my mind, I could see what had happened. We settled in this place in Massachusetts as a family. And then it was like on a dandelion, you blow it and the seeds just go everywhere. And it was like our family just went all over the earth from that point. We were scattered all the way through up to California, from the East Coast to the West Coast, and even Alaska. It was everywhere. You could find an Eldridge in almost any part of the states, in any town. It was amazing to me that our name was everywhere. But Yahweh did that intentionally, showing us that we are part of his family. He cares for us. And when I finally realized how far did I have to go, because the question that came to my mind when I was in Oregon, how far will I go? We're as far west as we could possibly go. You can almost see the water from where we were at. Although we were in California at one point, and we could see the water at the Pacific. And it just makes you wonder. It's like the seed of Abraham gone everywhere around the world. And how many are actually listening to the voice of God? His arms are always open, and he's always asking for us to come back. And what do? We thumb our noses at him. We don't care about him. We don't love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We don't love our neighbor as ourselves. We look at each other in disdain most of the time. We argue, we fight over petty things. We don't care about our neighbor as we should. If a stray animal that we know belongs to our neighbor, we won't do anything about it. Most of us. And yet there's some who will actually take that dog or that cat or the donkey back to where it came from. But not many will do that anymore. If you notice here that we need to first turn to him and repent for what we have done and do what he says for us to do. It's not that we are going to be sacrificing wherever we're at. No, he wants us to return back to the word, his word, and to do those things as Yeshua said to do them. and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love God with all of our heart. He said for us to do, even where we are at, no matter how far you have gone from him, it's not easy, but it is that simple. He is waiting for us to return to him, and he will do the rest and restore us. This is a call back to Adam, until the last one is saved. Only will you come back to him and love him with your whole heart and being and love your neighbor as yourself. Or will you continue in your old ways? The choice is yours. What will you choose? Life or death? In Matthew 7:12-14, therefore all things, whatever you desire that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Go through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there who go in through it, because narrow is the gate and constricted is the way which leads to life, and there are few who will find it. In Joshua 24:14-22. Now then, fear Yahweh and serve him with sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve Yahweh. For if it seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. And the people answered and said, far be it from us to forsake Yahweh to serve other gods. For Yahweh our God is he who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And he did those great wonders in our sight. He kept us in all of our way, in the which we went and among the people through whom we passed. And Yahweh drove them out before us at all the people, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We will also serve Yahweh, for he is our God. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve Yahweh, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. But if you forsake Yahweh and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you harm and destroy you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve Yahweh. And Joshua said to the people, you are a witness against yourselves that you have chosen Yahweh to serve him. And they said, we are a witness. The choice is yours. Who will you serve? Time is short. We do not know when our final day is, whether we draw our last breath or when Yeshua returns. Today we must choose to follow him or continue on a path that leads to destruction. We need to follow him with our whole heart and our whole being and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And this is the message he had for me for today.